whose sins you will forgive, they are forgiven them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We all want to get to heaven. We all want to avoid hell. But what do we have to do to save our souls? First of all, we need to be able to make a good confession of our sins. And it's not that hard to do, fortunately. It's the devil, though, who tries to make confession seem harder than it really is. And so, while no pain, no gain is, to a certain degree, true, still, confession doesn't have to feel like committing harakiri. So, this morning, then, we're going to take a look at the subject of confession in 3 points. Firstly, how the devil tempts us not to confess our sins. Secondly, how to make a good confession. And thirdly, how you can easily make a general confession of your entire life. Let's start with our first point. How the devil tempts us not to make a good confession. We can say that there are perhaps 3 ways in particular the devil tries to get us to make bad confessions. Firstly, the devil will say to us, that sin's too big to be forgiven. This, of course, is the sin of despair. But remember that Jesus has already paid the price for your sins by dying there on the cross for us. He's taken upon himself your guilt, your sin, your punishment. And all God is looking for from you now is simply a good confession. God tells us in the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament, if the sinner does penance, I will not remember all the sins that he has committed. It's Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 21. And God also tells us through the wise man that he overlooks the sins of men for the sake of penance. That's the book of Wisdom, chapter 11, verse 24. But we can ask, what is this penance that God's looking for from you? The first penance God's looking for from you is simply a good confession. Because God knows how hard, how humiliating it is to be able to expose the wounds of our soul to the priest there in the confessional. It takes real courage to be able to do that. Now, the second way that the devil tries to get us to make bad confessions, the devil likes to say to us, oh, confessing to a priest, that's way too hard. You can confess directly to God. That won't hurt so much. But that's not what Jesus tells us in the Gospels. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. So we can ask, what is the will of God for us? And St. James gives us the answer in his epistle, where he says, confess your sins to one another. That's St. James chapter 5, verse 16. And that's why we've got to confess our sins to the priest, who is God's minister. Now, of course, only God can forgive us the sins that we've committed against him. But God so wants to forgive the sins that we've had the misfortune to commit against him that God has given to his priest his own divine power to forgive sins, no matter what kind of sin it is, no matter how many times it's been committed. As long as we're truly sorry for our sins and don't want to commit them again, God is faithful and will forgive us through his priest. St. Paul also says that what I have pardoned, I have done it in the person of Christ. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. That brings us to the third temptation of the devil. The devil will say, oh, that sin, that's too embarrassing to confess. What will the priest think if you tell him that one? God will understand if you leave that sin out. Now, when a Catholic ends up in hell, it's usually because, after having had the misfortune to offend God by committing a deliberate mortal sin, he's then gone on to compound the problem by making a deliberately bad confession. So you know from your catechism that if you deliberately don't confess a mortal sin to the priest because you're too embarrassed to mention it, it makes the sacrament sacrilegious and even invalid. Also, if you're deliberately not loud enough, usually in the case of old priests, you're too embarrassed, and so you're deliberately not loud enough because you wanted to see the priest. Blessing the life for us and Father, that also makes the sacrament invalid. Even if you deliberately neglect to examine your conscience sufficiently because you're pretty sure there are some uncomfortable moral sins there that you don't really want to have to confess and you really want to forget, that can also make the sacrament invalid. So we all want to avoid ending up in hell. We all want to get to heaven. And for that, we need to know how to make a good confession of our sins. And that's our second point. The information in this point will be good for any confession you ever need to make in your entire life. So let's see, first of all, what sins you've got to confess. You've got to confess every unconfessed mortal sin that you've committed since your baptism. Obviously, it's helpful if you confess venial sins too, though, strictly speaking, it's not obligatory to confess them. What about the case of what we call a doubtful mortal sin, where you're not sure if it was subjectively mortal because you may not have given full consent to it? Strictly speaking, there's not an obligation to confess these doubtful mortal sins, but it's very helpful if you do, because you can be sure that if you deliberately don't confess a doubtful mortal sin because you're too embarrassed to confess it, you can be sure that as soon as you walk out of the confessional, the devil's going to be sitting right there on your shoulder, and he's going to be whispering in your ear, "Ooh, you know that was a mortal sin. God still hates you. You're going to burn in hell for that one." And so the only way for you to be able to get rid of that demon off your shoulder is to go back into the confessional and then tell the priest the doubtful mortal sins that you didn't confess. Now, obviously, you tell the priest that they were doubtful, that you don't know if you had sufficient reflection or full consent of the will to make it subjectively mortal. But at least by having by eating humble pie and actually confessing those doubtful mortal sins, you're getting rid of that demon, and he will not be able to take away your peace of soul. Now, sometimes it happens that a person really intends on making a good confession of their sins. They intend to confess all their mortal sins. You go into the confessional, and then you walk out, and you think, "Oh my goodness, I've just had a pre-senior moment. I meant to confess that mortal sin, and I completely forgot to, accidentally." In such a case, don't panic. You intended to confess it. You are sorry for it. Therefore, God does forgive you that mortal sin. You simply confess it in your next confession. You remember from your catechism that there are three things necessary to make a sin mortal: grave matter, sufficient reflection, and full consent of the will. Let's take a look at these three elements. Firstly, grave matter. In other words, it's got to be something that is seriously contrary to God's law. Secondly, sufficient reflection. This is on the part of the intellect, what we usually call our mind. The mind says, "I know I shouldn't be doing this." Now, please note, this is not a theological conclusion. It's not saying, "I know if I do this, I'm offending God," or "I know if I do this, I'm crucifying my loving Savior." No, this is on the level of natural ethics. "I know I shouldn't be doing this." Then after the act of the intellect comes the act of the will, what we call our heart. The intellect says, "I shouldn't be doing this," but then the will says, "But I'm gonna do it anyway." And that's where mortal sin takes place. Now, it is possible for someone to give partial consent of the will instead of full consent of the will. For example, a case of someone who toys with the temptation before actually setting it aside. That's partial consent of the will. And that's going to be subjectively venial. But please note that sin takes place here, in your heart, in your will, in your desires, even before anything happens exteriorly in your actions or in your behaviors. And that's what Jesus means in the gospel, where he says, anyone who even looks with lust upon a woman has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Now, how are you supposed to confess mortal sins? There are three things that need to be confessed. The species, the kind, we'll come back to explain that. The number, and certain circumstances. Let's take a look at these. Firstly, the species of the sin. In other words, what kind of sin is it? It's not sufficient to say, bless me, Father, for I sin. Father, I committed a sin against thee. Fifth commandment. That's a genus. You want to come down to the specific difference. What kind of sin was it? Then, besides the species, you also need to confess, secondly, the number of times it's been committed. This is obligatory for mortal sins. With venial sins, it's helpful if you mention the number, but it's not actually necessary to mention that. Now, if you know the exact time, number of sins that you've, the number of times that you've committed a mortal sin, you tell the priest the exact number. If you know that you've committed a certain mortal sin 5 times, no more or less, you tell the priest 5 times. If you say, Father, I committed such and such a mortal sin 4 or 5 times, knowing very well it was exactly 5, then you're playing with the sacrament. And while that may not actually invalidate it, it is dangerous. Whereas if you say, Father, I committed such and such a mortal sin 4 times, knowing very well it was exactly 5, and you're not sorry for the 5th time, that means you've just made a sacrilegious confession. And none of your sins have been forgiven, simply because while God wants to forgive you, you're not disposed to receive his forgiveness. Now, what happens when you really don't know the exact number of times that you've committed a mortal sin? For example, the case of bad thoughts. We can have thoughts going through our head all day long, but how many times have we actually consented to them? Sometimes it's very difficult to give an exact number. Or again, in the case where you're making a general confession of your entire life, how are you supposed to give an exact number in these cases? In these cases, an approximation is sufficient, where the exact number is unknown or even unknowable. In these cases, it's best to mention to the priest how long you were addicted to the sin, and how frequently it happened, usually in that time frame. So, for example, you might say, Father, I committed such and such a mortal sin about 2x a week for about 5 years. That way the priest gets a rough estimate. Even if the real number is higher or lower, God knows that you're doing your best to make a good confession, and ultimately that's all that he's interested in. However, you do not need to even attempt to give an exact number where the exact number is unknown. For example, please, you don't have to say, Father, I committed such and such a mortal sin 14,678 times. Because the priest is going to be thinking, and how do you know it wasn't 14,679? So don't even try to give an exact number in these cases. Other sins can be confessed as a continuous act. This is especially the case with the sin of hatred, which usually lasts over a period of time. Here you can say, Father, I hated my mother-in-law for 10 years. That way the priest gets the idea that it lasted all that time. However, in any confession that you ever make in your entire life, please have mercy on the priest, and please do not say something like, Father, I don't know how many times I committed that mortal sin. Can you give me an approximate number? Father, I did it sometimes. Can you please give me a number? Father, I did it lots of times. Would you please give me a number? Best of all, Father, I did it 1,000,000 times. the priest gets the idea that it was really frequent, but please have mercy on the priest and give him some kind of an approximate number, because the priest does have to have some kind of approximate number to go on in order to judge your confession. Now, besides the species and the number, you may also need to confess certain circumstances, but only circumstances that actually change the nature of the sin. Let's give a couple examples. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Father, I stole 200 bucks. Where did you steal it from? I stole it from the Catholic Church. Ah, now that's a circumstance that has got to be confessed, because now it's not just a sin of theft, but it's also a sin of sacrilege, two sins in one, because the Catholic Church belongs to God. Stealing from the Catholic Church is stealing from God, and therefore that does have to be confessed specifically. Whereas, let's give another example. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Father, I stole 200 bucks from a church. Which church did you steal it from? From the Protestant church down the street. Well, you don't have to actually mention that in confession, because non-Catholic churches don't belong to God. Therefore, it's not a sin of sacrilege to steal from them. It's only a sin of theft. Let's give another example. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Father, I hated someone. Who did you hate? I hated my parents. Ah, now that's a circumstance that does need to be confessed, because it's one thing just to hate someone. You're walking down the street and Joe Q Public gives you this really nasty look and you think, I hate his guts. That's one thing. Whereas by the fourth commandment, we are positively obliged to love and reverence our parents, which is why hatred of our parents is so much worse than hating anyone else. But please notice that only those circumstances that actually change the nature of the sin are to be confessed. If it doesn't change the nature of the sin, do not confess it. Father, it happened in the springtime. Who cares? Now, we all know how to make a confession, but it's good for us to be reminded once in a while. First of all, before going into the confessional, you examine your conscience. You then go in and you kneel down and you say, Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was, however many days, weeks, months, let's not hope years, that it's bad. And then you confess your sins, loud enough to be heard by the priest, but not loud enough to be heard by everyone else waiting in line. At the end of your confession, it's helpful if you add the little prayer, For these and all the sins of my past life, I am heartily sorry. That way the priest knows that you're finished with your confession and that you're not trying to think of something else to confess. The priest will then give you some advice and will give you a sacramental penance. You then say your act of contrition, again loud enough to be heard by the priest. And because the priest has to know that you're sorry for the sins that you've just confessed. And it's okay if English is not your first language and you prefer doing your act of contrition in a different language. That's okay. The priest does not have to understand the individual words you're saying. He simply has to know that you're saying your act of contrition. And then while you're saying your act of contrition, the priest will be giving you the absolution, that means the forgiveness from God, for your sins. Remember that the sacramental penance the priest gives you in confession is restitution that you make to God for your sins, and therefore the penance does oblige in conscience. If you're confessing just venial sins, then the penance itself is going to oblige under pain of venial sin. Or if you're confessing mortal sins, then the penance itself will oblige under pain of mortal sin. And if you deliberately don't do the penance the priest gives you, then that's another sin on top of the first ones. That's why you do want to mention in confession, if you've ever neglected, either indeliberately or especially deliberately, to finish the penance the priest has given to you. For your encouragement, remember that the priest is bound by what we call the seal of the confessional. If a priest were ever to say, so-and-so did such-and-such, which he knows only through confession, the priest would actually be automatically excommunicated, and only the Pope himself could absolve that excommunication. But not even someone as evil in his private life as Martin Luther is believed to have been. It's believed that he was a drunkard and a womanizer and all like that. Not even Martin Luther was ever accused of having broken the seal of the confessional. That's because the Holy Ghost gives to his priests a special grace not to reveal what they've heard in the sacrament. Moreover, in the case where you have a visiting priest, like a missionary, he comes and goes unknown to you. And as we all know, sometimes it's simply easier to be able to confess to a priest who doesn't recognize our voice. But even when you go to your regular confessor, you never need to worry about, oh my gosh, what's Father going to think if I tell him that sin? Don't worry, because while it's true that the priest is a minister of God's justice, he is first and foremostly a minister of God's mercy. Oftentimes when we priests are asked, don't you get depressed listening to all those sins? And I'd say it's actually the other way around. The more sins the priest hears, the more he is convinced of the infinite mercy of God to the repentant sinner. The priest is your friend. He is there to help you up. He is not a monster. He's not going to yell at you, you did what? It's not like we actually wear a t-shirt under here that says, I eat sinners for breakfast. Because while it's true that the priest must be a lion in the pulpit, you'll find that he's a lamb in the confessional. It's understandable that sometimes people are embarrassed by the things that they've done. That's understandable. If this ever happens to you, start off your confession telling that to the priest. Father, I'm really embarrassed. Father, I'm really ashamed of myself. And that way the priest knows to help you with your confession. Because, as we said, what confession does not need to feel like you are committing harakiri. Moreover, a parish mission, like what we have this weekend, it's referred to as a time of the extraordinary mercy of God. And that's why small penances are given, even for a lifetime of sin. St. Alphonsus de Liguori is the patron saint of confessors, and he used to tell his priests, give small penances, he said, because we want people to hate the sin, not the penance. And so the biggest penance that you'll get for a general confession from me, normally I give one rosary, I usually give the 5 sorrowful mysteries. Sometimes I'll add something else, especially if you've got a family. Oftentimes I will ask if you've got the internet in the house, and oftentimes for the head of the family I'll often ask to make sure that there is an internet walker on anything in the house as part of the penance, just to make sure that the family is safe. There's one penance, however, that I can assure you you will not receive from me. For your penance, you will say one rosary with the stations of the cross between every Hail Mary. Now, how can you be sure that you really are sorry for your sins and that you don't want to commit them again? Before you go into the confessional, say to yourself, just quietly in your mind, your act of contrition, and think about the words. If you mean what you say, yes, you will make a good confession. That brings us to our third point, how you can easily make a general confession of your entire life. A general confession is a confession of all the mortal sins from your past, which obviously includes those which have already been confessed. In a general confession, you can also confess habits of venial sin. For example, that you frequently tell white lies, that you frequently commit gluttony, that you frequently fall into little sins of impatience, etc. Now, who needs to make a general confession? You get two extremes. There are some persons who must make a general confession. Others must not. Most people actually fall in between the two extremes. But let's take a look at this. Some persons must make a general confession. This is the case of someone who has been making bad sacrilegious confessions, either because they've been hiding mortal sins from the priest that they're too embarrassed to confess, or because they don't have a true sorrow for their sins, or they don't have a firm purpose of amendment, or maybe because they have not been willing to give up proximate occasions of mortal sin, or even because they're not willing to make up for grave sins of injustice in the past. These persons are living in the state of sin. And the only way for them to get back onto God's grace and friendship is by reconfessing their life, at least from the point where they started making bad confessions. And in that way, these souls can regain God's grace and friendship. Now, at the opposite extreme are those who must not make a general confession. This is the case of someone who is scrupulous. To give an example, if you think that picking your nose is a mortal sin that's going to send you to hell, you are scrupulous. And for these souls, if you've been told by a priest that you're scrupulous, please do yourself and me a favor and don't even try to make a general confession of your life during this mission. As St. Alphonsus says, the scrupulous soul must not make a general confession because, he says, it does spiritual trauma to the scrupulous person. They must overcome their scruples first before they can think about making a general confession. As I say, most persons actually fall between these two extremes. It may not be necessary for you to make a general confession in your entire life, but you'll find that it's very helpful if you do. Because by going over your past life and those past sins once more, it'll give you a real appreciation for God's love, God's patience, God's mercy towards you. At the same time, you'll develop a real hatred for sin. And as you purify your soul once again from those past stains, you're opening up your heart to receive greater graces from God in the future. That's why a general confession for so many people is so very helpful in the spiritual life. How do you make a general confession? First of all, you want to examine your conscience, and for many people it's helpful actually to write things down. If you've got an excellent memory, that's fine. The main thing is that you come prepared to make your general confession. Now, when you examine your conscience, it's best if you can consider your states of life, because that's usually where most of our sins are committed. So you go over the time when you were a child, when you were in high school, when you were in college, when you were dating, when you were married, when you had kids, when you were widowed, etc. Then go over your specific states of life. So gentlemen, whether you were a tradesman or if you were a professional. Ladies, if you were a stay-at-home mom or if you had to work outside the house. Because again, as I said, it's usually in these areas that we commit most of our sins. Now, as you know, there is a light in the confessional so that you'll be able to read what you've written. If the confessions continue on this afternoon, just to let you know, I do take a 5-minute break each hour. I'm happy to hear confessions as long as is necessary today. That's what I'm here for. But if you see me coming out of the confessional, please, I'm just to reassure you, I am not running away. I will be back simply in 5 minutes. I take a 5-minute break. Please make your normal confession first, because that way the priest knows what sins have never been confessed. Then mention your state of life, if you are single, married, widowed, or whatever the case may be. Then mention any mortal sins that you have neglected to confess in the past. Then after your normal confession, you can go immediately into your general confession. You don't have to wait for the priest to say anything. You simply go on to say, and now I'd like to make my first general confession, or my last general confession was however many years ago. For those whose last general confession was made at the last parish mission, the last mission here was 6 years ago. Now, if this is your second general confession only, it suggests that you go over your entire life one more time, a second time around, because that second time around, you'll oftentimes remember sins that you forgot in your first general confession. However, if this is your third or more general confession, normally, you can simply go back just to the last general confession, however many years ago it is. You may want to hit some of the low points in your previous life also. That's quite all right to mention that. It's basically up to you how you want to do your general confession. So there are, finally, three rules for making a good general confession of your life. They are easy rules to remember. They're what we call the three B's. Be brief. Be blunt, be gone. Let me explain. Be brief, because even if you are 8 years old and have never made a general confession of your life before, and you have a Denver telephone book of sins to confess, still, as long as you come prepared, you will be able to make your general confession within 15 minutes or less. That's 15:15, not 50. Also, be blunt. You are there to tell your sins, not your spouse's sins. You are there to accuse yourself, not to excuse yourself. And please, no stories. We priests, we love listening to the life stories of our faithful, but not during a general confession. It takes way too long. Father, when I was 4 years old, my mother, no stories. And finally, be gone, because there are going to be others waiting in line behind you, and they're going to be looking at their watches as your 15 minutes tick past. And if you take longer than your allotted 15 minutes, you know what kind of looks you're going to get when you come out of the confessional. Also, be gone, because you've got good priests here who can give you spiritual direction. Normally the general confession is not normally a time for spiritual direction. You've got good priests who give you that direction that you need. We've seen these 3 points. How the devil tempts us not to confess our sins. How you can make a good confession. And how you can easily make a general confession of your entire life. We can end off with the words of our Lord to St. Margaret of Cortona. As you may know, Margaret started off her life like Mary Magdalene, a big sinner. And one day she had this incredible conversion experience. And immediately she went to the priest and made a general confession of all her sins and all the scandals that she had given. And afterwards, Jesus appeared to her and said, Margaret, by the power of this general confession, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.